One day, the Agasura demon watched Krishna and his friends playing in the forests. Agasura was the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura, and he thought,
"Krishna killed my brother and sister. Now I shall kill him along with all his friends and calves. Then, naturally, their mothers and fathers will also die of sorrow. Ha, 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 ha."
So the great demon Agasura made himself longer and longer and longer until he was 8 miles long, just like a very, very fat snake. He stretched his mouth wide open, just like a mountain cave. His lower lip touched the ground, and his upper lip touched the clouds way up in the sky. His jaws were very deep, and his teeth were just like mountain peaks. His hot tongue looked like a wide road, and his breathing was like a very windy storm. His eyes were blazing like fire. Since he wanted to swallow all the boys at once, especially Krishna, he sat on the path, waiting. At first, the boys thought the demon was only a statue, but then they began to talk with each other about him. One said,
"This looks like a huge snake which has opened its mouth wider and wider to eat all of us. But even if it were to swallow us all at once, it could not possibly swallow Krishna. Krishna will kill him easily, as he did Bakasura."
All the boys looked at the beautiful lotus-like face of Krishna, and they began to clap and smile. They were not afraid, and so they marched forward right into the big open mouth of the serpent. The demon was waiting for Krishna. When Krishna went in, all the demigods who had gathered to see the fun, hiding in the clouds, began to cry,
"Oh, alas! Alas! Alas!"
Suddenly, Krishna began to grow bigger and bigger inside the demon's throat. Agasura demon coughed and choked. His big fiery eyes moved in pain, and he couldn't breathe anymore. His life air burst out of a hole in the top of his head. And the demon dropped dead. So Krishna brought all the boys and calves with him safe and sound right out of the mouth of the demon. Agasura's spirit soul was waiting in the sky like a dazzling light. When the boys and calves came out of the demon's mouth, everyone saw that glittering light merge into the body of Krishna. The demigods were very joyful and showered flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. They offered prayers, played drums, and sang songs. Jai! Jai! All glories to Krishna! The gigantic mouth of the demon stayed open and didn't dry up for many, many days. After saving his friends from the mouth of Agasura, Lord Krishna brought them near the Yamuna River and said,
"My dear friends, this is a nice place to eat lunch and play on the soft sandy beach. Just see the sweet-smelling lotus flowers floating in the water. Just listen to the chirping birds and peacocks and the whispering of the leaves in the trees. Let us have our lunch right here. It is already late and we are all so hungry. The calves can stay nearby to drink water from the river and eat the soft grass here."
Sitting down on the ground, they began to open their lunch boxes. Lord Sri Krishna sat down and all the boys sat around him in a circle. In his left hand, he held a lump of food made with yogurt, butter, rice, and pieces of fruit salad. He was laughing and joking, enjoying lunch with his friends in Vrindavan. In the sky, the demigods watched the boys while flying in their airplanes. Lord Brahma was especially enjoying what he saw. Meanwhile, the calves had walked too deep into the forest. The boys became afraid that their calves were lost, so they cried out, "Krishna! Krishna!" Just by calling out Krishna, at once they felt safe from any danger. Krishna said,
"My dear friends, please don't worry. Sit right here. I will look for the calves myself while you eat your lunch."
Somehow, Lord Brahma stole all the calves and cowherd boys and took them to another place where they slept. Though Lord Krishna looked for them everywhere, he still could not find them at all. But he knew that Lord Brahma had taken all the boys and calves. Krishna thought,
"How can I go back alone to Vrindavan? Their mothers will be so sad and worried if they know their boys are lost."
So Krishna made himself into exact copies of each and every boy and calf. They were just like each and every one of the lost calves and friends in their different sizes, colors, faces, clothes, ornaments, and in whatever they said and whatever they did. When Krishna went back to the village of Vrindavan, no one knew what had happened. All the calves went to their cowsheds, and the boys went to their own mothers and homes. The mothers bathed their children, put on tilak and ornaments, and gave them their dinner after the day's work as usual. The calves came to their mother cows, who licked their bodies. Actually, the cows' love for their calves and the gopis' love for their boys grew even more, just like their love for Krishna. One day, Krishna and Balaram went out with the boys and calves. They saw the cows up on top of Govardhan Hill run down to their calves with tails up and full milk bags pouring milk on the ground out of love for their calves. The men up on the top of the hill could not stop them and had to chase them. When they came all the way down and saw their children, they picked them up in their arms very happily. After that, they went back up to the top of Govardhan Hill with their runaway cows. Along the way, they thought of their children with tears of love in their eyes. Balaram saw this and thought, "This must be Krishna's trick." Balaram understood that all those boys and calves were only forms expanded from Krishna. Balaram asked him,
"My dear Krishna, why did you turn yourself into these boys and calves? Where have those other boys and calves gone?" "They were all stolen by Lord Brahma the day when we had our picnic, so I made new cowherd boys and calves, so the people in Vrindavan would not know that they were really all lost."
While Krishna and Balaram were talking, Lord Brahma came back to see the fun made by his stealing the boys and calves. He saw them all there and thought,
"I just took all the boys and calves away from here, and I know they are still sleeping in another place. So how can the same boys and calves all be here playing with Krishna?"
Then Brahma saw something very wonderful happen. Krishna changed all those boys and calves into beautifully decorated four-armed Vishnu forms. And then he saw Krishna alone as a small cowherd boy, again with a lump of food in his left hand. All the Vishnu forms had gone, and Krishna was looking for his friends and calves, just as he was actually doing when they first disappeared. Lord Brahma got down from his great swan carrier and fell just like a golden stick to offer his respectful obeisances. All four helmets on Brahma's four heads touched Krishna's little lotus feet. As he remembered the wonderful sight he had seen, he cried happily and fell and rose again and again for a long time. Seeing the Lord right in front of him, he began to offer wonderful prayers. Lord Brahma said,
"Let me offer my obeisances unto the son of Maharaj Nanda, who is standing in front of me with conch shell, earrings, and a peacock feather on his head. His face is so beautiful, and he is wearing a helmet. Garlanded with forest flowers, he holds a piece of food in one hand and carries a stick, buffalo horn, and flute. He stands before me with small lotus feet. Oh, Krishna, you look just like a village boy, carrying your food in your hand and looking for your calves. First I saw you alone, then you made yourself into your friends, calves, and all of Vrindavan. Then I saw you and all the boys and calves as four-handed Vishnus, and they were being worshipped by all the demigods, even me. You are the Supreme Lord, the beginning of everything. Everything comes from you and again goes back to you, and you stay the same as before. Please accept me as your loving servant. I hope you will excuse me for disturbing you. Now, please, let me leave so you can enjoy your friends and calves without me.
Lord Brahma walked around Krishna three times, offering his humble obeisances, and went back to his home called Brahmaloka. Then Krishna's friends, now on the bank of the Yamuna again, were eating lunch just as they were when Krishna left to look for the lost calves. When Krishna came, the boys said, "Please come and let us eat together." Krishna smiled and sat down. Along with his friends, cows, and brother Balaram, Krishna went every day through the forests of Vrindavan, which were full of sweet grass, bees, flowers, and fruits. There were chirping birds, clear water lakes, and sweet-smelling breezes. The trees, heavy with fruits, bowed down to touch the ground as if welcoming Krishna, and that made him smile. While walking, Krishna and Balaram played their flutes. The boys made the sound of bees and cuckoos, or danced like the peacocks and the swans in the lakes. Krishna also moved his neck, making his friends laugh. The cows looked at him and mooed happily when he called them by their names. Sometimes the boys made sounds like tigers and lions. And then ran away like the small animals there, out of fear. When they were tired, they would sit down. Balaram would put his head on the lap of one of the boys to take a nap, and Krishna would come and massage his legs or fan him with a palm leaf. When Krishna became tired, sometimes he lay down under a big tree with a root or the lap of a cowherd boy as his pillow. Some of the boys rubbed his legs and fanned him, while others sang sweetly so he could rest very nicely. One day, his friends, Sridhama, Subala, and Stoka Krishna said,
"Dear Balaram, your arms are very strong. Dear Krishna, you are very expert in killing all kinds of disturbing demons. In the forest called Talavan, there are big palm trees full of fruits. Some fruits fall out of the trees, and some are very ripe even in the trees. It is a very nice place, but because of a big demon, Denukasura, it is not safe to go there. No one can get the fruits. This demon looks like a donkey, and has many demon friends, all donkeys. They are very strong, and we are afraid to go there. Not even animals or birds sleep there. They have all left. We can only just smell the sweet smell of the fruits coming from that place. Maybe you are the only ones who can kill such demons. Dear Krishna and Balaram, let us go there and enjoy those sweet fruits." Don't you smell them from here?
To please his friends, Krishna and Balaram went to the Talavan forest, where Balaram began to shake the trees with strong arms. All the ripe fruits fell down to the ground. Dhenukasura, that donkey demon living there, heard the sound of the fruits falling and came running quickly, making the whole ground shake. Then the demon kicked Balaram in the chest with his back legs. At first, Balaram did not say anything, and the angry demon kicked him again, even harder. But this time, Balaram quickly caught the donkey's legs with one hand. He wheeled him around and around and threw him high into a treetop where he lay dead. The demon's body was so heavy that the tree fell down upon other trees, and many fell down upon each other. It looked as if a great windy hurricane had blown down all the trees in the forest, one after another. All the friends of Dhenukasura came running. Krishna and Balaram caught each donkey by the back legs. They wheeled them around and around and killed them by throwing them into the palm trees, just like Dhenukasura. Because of so many different colors of dead donkeys, it looked as if clouds of many colors were floating in the trees. The demigods showered flowers on Krishna and Balaram, playing music and singing devotional prayers. A few days after the killing of Dhenukasura, people began to come into the Talavan forest to collect fruits. The birds and animals began to live there again, without being afraid. In the summer, the boys and cows often drank the water at the Yamuna River. Within the river, there was a big lake where the great serpent known as Kaliya used to live. The water in it got so dirty and poisonous because of the black serpent Kaliya. One hot day, the boys and cows who went to drink there became sick and fell down dead. But Krishna brought them back to life simply by looking at them. Then Krishna climbed up a big kadamba tree on the bank of the river. He tightened his belt, flapped his arms like a wrestler, and jumped into the poisonous lake. When Krishna jumped into the water, the river flooded over the sides as if something very large had fallen into it. Krishna swam and played around just like a great strong elephant. He splashed around and made a lot of noise until the great black serpent Kaliya came to see him. With an angry heart, Kaliya grabbed Krishna with his strong coils for 2 hours. The boys became afraid, and all the cows cried when they saw their beloved Krishna in trouble. Everyone from Vrindavan ran to the river. Mother Yashoda fell to the ground crying because she thought her wonderful child was in terrible trouble. Then Krishna made his body bigger and bigger and bigger so the serpent could not hold him anymore. Kaliya became even more angry and also made his great hoods bigger and bigger. Oh, he breathed out terrible poison and smoke from his nostrils. His eyes blazed like fire. Flames came from his mouth while he looked at Krishna, licking his snake lips with split tongues. Then Krishna jumped on him, just as Garuda swoops down upon a snake. Kaliya tried to bite him, but Krishna moved quickly around him. As Krishna and Kaliya moved in a circle, the serpent became very, very tired. Krishna pressed down the serpent's heads and jumped up on them. He began to dance upon the hoods of the serpent, which were moving to and fro.